welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. Trying to stay warm up here in northern Michigan. It's about 60 degrees, so anyway, enjoying the weather.
Not much sympathy from us in Northern California, where it is typically hot. And sometimes we get hives. But we'll talk about that in a moment. The poem that you've chosen this month deals with this issue of hives. It talks about treatments. Just by way of background, hives, known to our listeners as urticaria, is very common. It has a prevalence of about 20% in the general population. Typical urticarial lesion, as listeners will know, is often described as itchy. We would interpret that as pruritic. And a red spot, we would interpret that as a plaque, sometimes elevated. Presumptive triggers can be really anything, from temperature to contact to drugs to food to insect stings to infections. And sometimes it's really hard to figure out what the trigger was. In most cases, the research suggests that you can't really figure out what it's caused by after one instance, and often patients need to keep logs and diaries if it recurs. Perhaps because I saw a patient yesterday with this disorder, it's worth reminding listeners that direct mast cell activation can result from certain drugs and foods and plants. It can cause urticaria due to this mast cell degranulation through a non-IgE-mediated mechanism. The most frequently implicated causes are drugs, particularly narcotics and muscle relaxants and vancomycin and radiocontrast material. My patient had developed hives from methamphetamine use. Not a good thing either. Some berries, some nettle plants are examples of foods and plants that can cause this kind of direct mast cell activation. Initial treatment has often been with some sort of antihistamine. Many doctors also use steroids. Approximately two-thirds of cases of new onset hives will be self-limited and actually will resolve on their own. The poem that you found for us this month comes from the Annals of Emergency Medicine. It's an electronic ID number, so I'm not going to give it to listeners. It asks the question, in patients presenting with acute urticaria, is combination of antihistamine with corticosteroid treatment more effective than simply using antihistamines alone? Mark?
Yeah, this is a nice little study. They found 100 adults who came into the ED with a generalized rash and wheals and itching for less than a day. So, you know, acute urticarial hives. None of them had angioedema or anaphylaxis. They all got an antihistamine, levocetirizine, which is the levoisomer of cetirizine or Zyrtec. So I don't know about the funding, but I suspect this may possibly have been funded by the manufacturer. Otherwise, why use that particular antihistamine? Right. Anyway, they were all randomized using concealed allocation to get placebo or prednisone, 40 milligrams daily for 4 days. So, you know, reasonable dose of prednisone. And they followed them up by telephone, 62% who got the combination and 76% getting the antihistamine alone were asymptomatic on follow-up. There was no significant difference between groups. I mean, it was not a terribly large study. There was, you know, 62 versus 76. If anything, there was an advantage for those getting the placebo. Relapse was similar in both groups. And basically, the poet Alan Shaughnessy, who wrote this, calls it a belt and suspenders approach of steroids and antihistamines, doesn't offer any benefit over antihistamines alone. I would add that there's absolutely no reason to use this very expensive levoisomer of Zyrtec. Just use Zyrtec at a 10 milligram dose. You're going to be giving exactly the same thing as 5 milligrams of the levoisomer. You know, that's all we need to do for those patients. No need to add a steroid. It's not going to improve any outcomes.
Excellent. The question is there any evidence that one antihistamine is any better than another? And I suspect the answer is no, but do you know?
Probably, you know, in general, the potency of the antihistamines is inversely proportional to their sedation, right? So, you know, the Claritin is least sedating, the something like Benadryl is most sedating, diphenhydramine. So probably you would see maybe a little more potency and a little more effect. And, you know, I think a lot of us probably do the same thing. We say, you know, before bedtime, go ahead and take some diphenhydramine, but maybe take Zyrtec during the day for your allergies or hives or whatever. I think one last point to make is there was a systematic review a few months ago that looked at the harms of short-term courses of steroids, and they were pretty substantial in terms of bleeds and other complications that were rare but substantial, you know, serious complications. And so it's not a totally benign thing to just throw steroids at someone. We should, you know, like anything, have a good reason to do it.
Thanks, Mark. Very interesting. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Perfect.